It may say the same thing applies to ruku. If the imam was in ruku and you stood and you saw that he is still in ruku, you have to go down to ruku once again. Now, we have this rule, and that is in jama'at, in just your regular prayers, if you perform additional rukus, that namaz will become batil. But the rules of jama'at, they are different. If someone in jama'at stood and he found the imam was still in ruku, he has to go down in ruku. Although his rak'ah is going to have two rukus, still his namaz is valid. It's sahih, it's correct. So, for jama'at, there are special jama'at rules that apply. One more thing, and that is, sometimes it is normally misunderstood, that is, imam, when he has said his takbiratul ihram and he has started his prayers, the rows, one after the other, they have to say until the last row. This is a misunderstanding, a misconception. Imam, if he has said his takbir and the entire congregation is ready to say their prayers, whoever it is, wherever he is or she is, she can start her prayers. Because the whole jama'at is prepared to start their prayers. And if you sit and wait for the imam to say with the first, second, third, fourth, fifth row, etc., if that rule was to apply, for example, in Tehran, in the Jummah prayers, or in Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi, where the congregation, it's hundreds of thousands, and in those high seasons, it's millions. So if that rule was to apply, by the time people are saying that takbir al-ihram, namaz is done. So here, when the imam is prepared to say his takbir, and the congregation is ready, so anyone, anywhere can say his takbir and join that jama'at. Just some reminders which were noticed over here. And if you have any questions, I can answer them and we can get to the main topic.
Prohibited for the children
to
stand in the first?
It's not the question is it prohibited for children to stand in the first row? It is not. They can stand. You can have one or two children in the first row, one or two in the second row, doesn't matter. Yeah. Any other question? Yeah. In Zuhrain, or in those prayers where the surahs are recited silently, then too, you do not need to recite anything. The congregation will not recite any surahs. May that be Zuhrain, may that be Maghribain, may that be Fajr. Those surahs will be recited by the imam, and that is a concession given to the jama'at. To be observed, whether they listen to what the imam is saying or whether they don't hear what he says. In either cases, they don't need to recite anything. Nothing. Don't mean that as well. Nothing. Yeah, recitation of salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, that is good for any time. Whenever you are reminded of Rasulullah, anytime I talk about that a little bit, that you can say. Salawat. The 10th of this holy month of Ramadan, it's the demise of Hazrat Khadija from Umm al-Mu'mineen alayha salam. This great honorable lady, who is the mother of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha, and the sincere wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Regarding her, the Holy Prophet, he says that she had faith in me when everyone else denied me. So she was the first one to be with him. She certified me when everyone else rejected me. And she gave all her work to me when everyone else abstained me. Through her, the Almighty, the Benefactor, He blessed me a child that was not bestowed through any other, or to any other. So that great personality. Now regarding the sacrifice which she gave in respect and love to Rasulullah, it's amazing that when Islam was in need of funds, tabligh of Islam was done by Hazrat Khadija. It was her investment. Whatever she had, she gave her all of it in the way of Islam. And on one occasion, one of the riwayat, it says that Rasulullah, when he was in need of these funds, he, there Khadija was sitting in that majlis, and on the other side, it's the Holy Prophet. And then she instructs her maids and slaves to bring all the wealth, whatever and how much the Prophet needs to be given to him. So all those sacks of wealth were being brought, being placed on and between Hazrat Khadija and the Prophet, so much so that the quote says that they couldn't see each other. So much of wealth and gold and silver was placed between the two by her, that she said, whatever you want, as much as you want, all is for you. Regarding the greatness of Hazrat Khadija, she is the richest lady of Arabia of her time. And Hijaz, there wasn't any person in Hijaz who wasn't in debt to her. So she provided everything for everyone, whosoever was in need was provided, and that greatly. Now this person, with that caliber, with all that riches and wealth which she possesses, when she marries Rasulullah, she is a humble servant. Now those of you who've been to Mecca, and those of you who've seen that Ghar-e Hira, wherein the wahi was revealed to Rasulullah. Now Rasulullah, he used to go to that Ghar, to that cave, quite a lot, for his education, for his spiritual uplift. So, and the height of that cave is about 4,000 feet, the altitude of it. If we were to walk up to that cave, it would take easily 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours, and we got steps which lead up to that cave. And even in those 3-4 hours, it's almost impossible for someone to get up there and then come down. Now this lady, with all of those wealth, riches which she has, she prepares the food for Rasulullah, and she herself in person comes and ascends to that mountain and provides that food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this great lady, she passes away after a lifelong service to the Holy Prophet. She passes away on the 10th of this month of Ramadan, and a few days before her demise, we had Abu Talib alayhi salam, father of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he too passes away. And these two tragic events which unfold upon Rasulullah were so grievous, full of grief and sad, that that year when these two tragedies took place, that year was known as Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief, the year of sadness for Rasulullah, that two of his staunch supporters, they departed in this very month. Now she is laid to rest in Mecca, and in that cemetery which is known as Khuzn. And it's again pity to see that all the those related to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, those immediate relationships to the Holy Prophet, how everything has just been wiped off from the surface of this earth by these Bala'een in Hijaz. The same thing is with this cemetery, although they do not allow anyone to go there to pay any respect to all those huge walls that they have built. Now just recently, last year, what they have done from the flyovers which are around that cemetery, the graves could be seen, not even the graves, only the fence could be seen where these graves are there. They built huge big walls, maybe 14 meters high, concrete walls, so that even from that flyover, no one is able to see the cemetery, the graveyard, wherein these noble personalities are buried there. Abu Talib alayhi salam is buried in the same place. We find that Hazrat Khadija alayha salam, she also has been buried in the same place. Salam. We came to this point where Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions that وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ خَزَائِنُ مَلَكُوتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ قَدْ أَذِنَ لِدُغَائِكَ, says Hassan, someone who possesses the kingdom of the skies and the earth, he has permitted you to come to his service. And that is by the way of this prayer that he has allowed us. And we talked a little bit on the importance of this prayer and as to how and what type of preparations have to be made when we enter this prayer. One of the things which we ought to observe a lot is the timing, and that is Whatever the time Allah has designed for the prayers, say them on time, be punctual. And someone who is punctual in his prayers, says his prayers on time, benefits, and reaches those great maqamat, ranks which Allah has promised for those who say their prayers on time. Marhum Qazi Tabatabai, and a similar quote can be seen from other Arafah, they say that someone who says his prayers on time and doesn't get to those maqamat, spit on my face. That is, it is impossible for someone not to get to those ranks and he says his prayers on time. So if it is time for prayers, dot on time, so don't delay. That is the teaching that we have, because we have to give all that importance. And if you look into the seerah of the noble, we find so much of importance they gave to prayers, and to nothing else that much of importance was given. An example can be mentioned in Nofla de Chateau, where Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi was in Paris. There was this media coverage, so many tens of reporters were present. And it was time for prayers, all of a sudden he vanishes, leaves. They said, where? Well, it's time for prayers. They said, so many reporters are here. They said, but the time of Fazila, it won't return. That is that importance. And those who were associated to him, they used to say that we just wanted to test him. That many a times, sometimes we used to say that it's time that we are leaving for that journey. He used to say, okay, you start and I will join you. Or they used to prepare and lay the food at that time of prayer. He used to say, you start eating, I'll come and join you. But never did he leave behind his time of fazila, of prayers, and do anything else. As a result of which, we see the productivity of this asset which he has left behind. So all these little tips, they help in every individual in reaching those great maqamat that Allah Ta'ala has promised. You will get to those ranks as a result of giving importance to these prayers. And may Allah help us in this month of Ramadan to give importance. And if you look into yourself and practice it for a few days, you will find that it's the prayers offered on time are different to prayers that are offered at a later time. One of the reasons why we are told that say our prayers on time, because Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala wa farajahu sharif says his prayers on time. Because he says his prayers, now he is a perfect human being, complete, kamil. Someone who is kamil and he says his prayers, as a result of those prayers, a connection is initiated between this earth and the skies, between Allah and this planet. Now when that communication is created, we find there is a downpour of mercy from Allah. Just because of the connection that one waliullah has created between him and his mom. Now when we say our prayers at that time, more likelihood of our prayers being accepted, because the prayers of the Imam, they are definitely accepted. And when we say our prayers at that time, Allah says, as a result of that prayer, I'll accept every prayer that is offered at that very time. So more chances of prayers being accepted. Later, if we delay them and say them later, lesser likelihood and chances of prayers being accepted. So make it a habit to say these prayers on time, and it is us who will benefit. Here are six Imams, Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that. Now what to do to have our prayers done in a better way? He says that when you say your prayers, say it like a prayer, which is a prayer of farewell, the last prayer of your life. With that intention that this is the last prayer of my life, I stand before Allah and I say my prayers. Because after this, another opportunity will not be given to me. With that mindset, when I say my prayers, a better service will be provided. So that is another teaching which we find taught to us by our sixth Imam. And then we find that someone, so long as people they are punctual and they say their prayers on time, shaitan, he is scared. Shaitan, he will be away from us. Shaitan, he sighs, he wails. He says that when people, they lose their prayers, disregard their prayers, Then he has an easy access and quickly he drags them towards wretchedness and evil. So someone who says his prayers on time, Shaitan is distanced. Someone who misses out his prayers, we find that Shaitan gets closer to that person. Now when Allah says that that Allah has permitted us to communicate with him. On this wasiyah says that وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ خَزَائِنُ مَلَكُوتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ قَدْ أَذِنَ لِلْدُعَائِكِ. He has permitted you to communicate with him. Now that we have to communicate, there are some etiquettes to be observed. That first etiquette was mentioned, it was the covering of the wrong, that is the human body has to be covered. The wrong present in one's heart has to be covered. And now says that this heart of mine, although I'm standing facing Qibla, before that my heart has to face Qibla. It has to be directed, connected to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, as we say, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That is, I face myself towards the Creator of the skies and the earth. Now that is my existence when I stand before Him. Heart also has to be same way, communicated and connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One of the other things we need to take into consideration, although these masail they are known, just some refinement and another top up as a reminder to be observed, that is when we stand in prayers, we say Allahu Akbar, may that be jama'at, may that be furada, surahs are being recited, you have to be stable, firm, no movement at all. If you get tired, you want to raise your feet, either one or both. Sometimes you want to put all of your weight on one foot and then give the other one a break. Or just that little movement we may have in that prayer, that is not permitted, that is not allowed. If, for example, when this recitation was taking place, I switched, moved, or changed the position of my feet, what do I do? Ulama, they don't allow. For example, if I was reciting Surah Al-Hamd, and when I came to Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, this movement took place when I was reciting that very ayah. What do? I stand firm and repeat that ayah once again. Because that ayah was recited when I was in motion, when I wasn't stable. So that stability in namaz is also a requirement, that when I stand in prayers, I have to be stable. I'll quote you a hadith here, the etiquette which we learn from Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. Hadith says that when he stood in worship, this Imam, he was as if a branch of a tree, a dry branch of a tree which doesn't shake at all, or like the stem of a tree which doesn't move at all. This Imam used to stand in worship and then bow down and go to his sajda. If there was any movement, it was the movement of his clothes sometimes, if were going to do. Otherwise, this, the position which Imam stood in worship, that was it. And then says that when you stand, إِذَا اسْتَقْبَلْتَ الْقِبْلَ فَآيَسْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. When I stand in worship facing Qibla, says from everything that is in this dunya, I have to move away, turn away from everything. Only focus has to be Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala, and no one else. It may sound difficult a little bit, but it is possible because all these teachings are for human beings and for no one else. So Allah also, He doesn't burden anyone with anything which is stronger or more than what He can bear. Because we can bear, because we've got that capacity and ability, that's why He has mentioned all of this to us. Says, قِفْ عَلَىٰ قَدَمِ الْخَوْفِ وَالْرَجَىٰ. Now that you stand in worship before Allah, says, stand on your feet between khawf and raja. Khawf means fear, fright. Raja means hope. That I am standing in the presence of Allah with all that fear, because the position of Allah is fearful. Not that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. The position, the rank, the station of Allah, that is scary. Allah Himself is not. He is Rahman, He is Rahim, He is Arhamar Rahimeen. All these glorious names that were mentioned throughout these days. It says qif ala qadam al khawf wal raja, that you have to have, you have to move between that fright and that hope in Allah. A lot of hope that He has accepted us and He will forgive us. Fright because of that position, that rank, that station of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now to perform this prayer in a better way, there are some attachments to it. Now what are these attachments? That before I start my prayer, I say and recite the Adhan. I recite after that the Iqama. Now all these are attachments which strengthen and make me perform this worship in a better way. That is, and for the Adhan, Hadith says from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Imam says that someone who has recited one Adhan before his prayers, he has invited a row of angels behind him, and the stretch of this row of angels is from the east of the creation of Allah to the west of the creation. How vast that is, no one knows. That is, when I stand in prayers and I've recited that Adhan, I've got that many angels with me. And then he says, and if you topped it up with an Iqama, the same amount of angels will be with you. One of the reasons why we say, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'een, that is, it is you to whom we worship, and it is to you that we, from you that we seek assistance from. Now, although it's me, one person who is saying my prayers, then why do I say, Iyyaka na'budu, we are worshipping, we are seeking assistance. This we is all those angels that are with us. If it's a congregation and we've got so many people, that we does make sense. But if it is a person who is saying his prayers individually, then we means it is me in addition to those angels who are with me. If I haven't recited that Adhan and Iqama and I haven't got that many angels with me, then at least the two angels who are registering and recording the amal, they are with me. So that is why we say, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'een. So here, Imam says that when you stand in worship and you've said that Adhan and that Iqama, by the saying of this Adhan, you have prepared all the forces and powers in you. That is, first of all, it's that aql, that heart, which is the main source or the superpower in this existence of human body. You have instructed that heart to focus to Allah, and that heart also invites all other forces in this human body to be prepared that we are taking off at this very moment. It's exactly like how these aeroplanes take off, they just don't shoot and take off all by themselves. It's all that preparation that takes place at the airport, all in flight formalities that have to be observed, and when all that is done, only then that aircraft, it takes off. Here says that Adhan and Iqama are to remind of the Almighty's presence, His greatness, and the humbleness of us who have stood in His presence, Jalla Ra'ala. Says, أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَشَقَ الْعِبَادَ وَعَانَقَهَا وَأَحَبَّهَا فَقَلْبِهِ. If you want to know the best of people, who are they? Imam says, that someone who adores worship, loves worship, loves prayer. Not only does he love, says, as we, when we love someone, we want to embrace him, we want to hug him. Here says, this person who has loved this worship, he hugs it. That is, he loves this, adores this worship, أَحَبَّهَا بِقَلْبِهِ, with his heart. وَبَاشَرَهَا بِجَسَدِهِ, and then he embraces this worship with his body. That is, by all these different amal and recitals that we have, all these different movements that we have in ruku and sajda, etc. So this is regarding worship, which here Ma'asumeen they talk about, and inshallah we will continue as to what exactly is meant when we say takbir nazar, what exactly is meant when we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the same thing when we bear the witness for the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The idea of mentioning all these different topics in this sacred month of Ramadan was to come closer to Allah. And we find that this divine month, it has invitations in different ways. Mafatih al-Jinan, this book of dua written by marhum Shaykh Abbas Qumi, loads of duas, ziyarah, long, short, and some of them towards the end of this book, he has mentioned some of the duas. For example, you've got a lengthy dua as long as Abu Hamza, you've got lengthy ziyarah as long as ziyarat jama, for example, or ziyarat nahiyah. Now here he says that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he gives us a dua, a very small dua, someone who cannot recite all of those lengthy duas. Imam says, these four phrases if you recite, it's done the task of the longest dua, whichever, whatever it is. What are these four phrases? Says that whenever you feel like reciting a dua, say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli ni'mah, that all praise belongs to Allah for all the blessings He has bestowed. Instead of itemizing each one, says, kulli ni'mah, whatever blessings He has given, praise belongs to Allah for bestowing all of that upon us. Says, وَاسْأَلُهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Instead of itemizing and again asking Allah for all these different hajat and needs and requirements of us, Imam says, I ask Him for every good, every good. And then says, وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. And I seek the protection of Allah, His shelter, from every evil. And finally says, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ and كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ. And I seek the forgiveness of Allah from every sin, from every wrong that I have committed. Four phrases, and does the job of a lengthy dua. Another tip which he mentions is that a person he comes to our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salam, I did mention this earlier when we started the month. But these things, the more they are mentioned, the better it is. Reminders are always good. Imam says, do you visit my grandfather Hussein? He says, no, Ibn Rasulullah, I live in Medina. And your grandfather is buried in Karbala. I can't so frequently visit him. Imam says, I'll teach you a phrase. Say that. Just look at your right, look at your left, say this one phrase, you will get the reward of one perfect, complete Hajj and one perfect, complete Umrah. Now those of you who mean to Hajj, it's how difficult it is. So much you have to spend and then travel all that distance and all those manasik to be observed. Here Imam gives us a very simple tip. Says, look at your right, look at your left and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Says, just for that one phrase, you will get all that reward. And there is no restriction as to what time you say that. Any time during the day, as many times as you want. And give it a go. If you are stuck in something, say that a few times, at least 100 times if you have time, and see how things open up before you. With that sincerity, with that khulus, you call upon Allah Abdullah Hussein, He helps. That tawassul which Imam teaches. And then another person comes to Imam and says, Ibn Rasulullah, when I am reminded of your grandfather Hussein, what do I do? What is the best thing I can say? What is the best ziyarat I have to recite? Imam says, say 3 times, Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. So another simple tip mentioned by our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Inshallah, we continue tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in these days and nights of the sacred month of Ramadan. All of that, every noble, every good ask from Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, all of that be given and granted to each one of us. All those who are in an ailing, Allah grants them shifa. All those who have departed from this world, who were with us till last year, who are not with us this year, may Allah elevate their ranks. May Allah grant us all and all those who have passed away in His forgiveness the best of stations and places. Ya Allah, bihaqq al-Zahra wa abiha, wa da'liha wa baniha, wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان.